album with my wife playing the piano before the service, you change your mind quite a lot of songs that you'd already picked. So let's turn to page 129. Sing Blessed Redeemer.
If you need to make the change, it's I believe in football, it's an audible, they call an audible, to change the play. So we can change because we're very flexible here, very flexible, not formal at all. We thank the Lord for His mercies that bring us back to this place. And I pray that it is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ told that woman at the well there that her and her people naturally, He said, "You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We're thankful for His mercies to us that He has and continues to enable us by His grace to worship Him. We pray tonight for Paul and Ree. I want you to remember Sheila and Stephanie and others that have been sick. Vicky's mom, let's don't forget to pray for her. And many others of the Lord's people that are sick. There are those with trials and troubles, and we all have our various tribulations and afflictions and things that we plead to the Lord for mercy for. Let's begin tonight by prayer. Let's be praying for Brother Norman Wells as he comes. I look forward to his coming and to his preaching. That's what I want to have a lot of coffee with him, but I want to hear him preach. I look forward to hearing. Our Father, tonight we're come and we're gathered together by your gracious hand to be engaged, Lord, we pray, by your Spirit in the worship of your holy name and the hearing of your blessed and unchanging truth. We know that, as one has said, that the word of this book, the gospel, the everlasting gospel, it is ever relevant because you are always the same. Because man in his self is always the same. And Christ is the unchangeable one, and surely the never changing one way of salvation. We pray that his name might be magnified in this place, that his people might be gathered to him, that they might delight to worship him, that nothing would be more important, that nothing would be more needed and necessary to them than the one in whom God says is all the preeminence. He is preferred before all others. He is the one ordained Savior. And the worship and praise that is due his name and will go to his name is ordained of God, if even he has to make the stones cry out. There will be a gathering of his people and a praising of his name that has been assured by the Father in heaven. And we pray tonight, Father, that we might be involved in that, included in that, blessed in that, and that our souls might be fed the necessary bread of heaven, if they be living souls and have the life of God. We pray for these that we have mentioned that are sick and who have continuing sicknesses. We pray for all your people that are, Lord, the very apple of your eye, that you look upon in grace and sovereign mercy and have from old eternity, that you never leave them or forsake them. You provide for them, you protect them, you keep them, you bless them unto that day that you gather all of them together at your feet before the throne, that we might praise you and worship you forever. We thank you for all your blessings upon us, and we pray for these that you bring in our midst and bring under the sound of our voice and the voice of the gospel in other places, that are not called by your grace, that do not know you, and do not trust you and look to you alone for salvation. We pray for them that you might save them by your almighty grace. Call them by your Spirit. Grant to them that faith to believe on Christ for the glory of your name. For this world and nation that we live in, we ask your blessings upon it. We pray that you would not leave us to ourselves, that you would not leave us to our wickedness and our ways, and to earthly wisdom, which is always wrong and always against you. We pray for grace. We pray that you would save us, Lord, with an everlasting salvation, that you'd help us and have mercy upon us and receive our thanks. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's turn our hymnal to hymn number 419, I Sought the Lord.
This is the last chapter of this book, which is the Acts of the apostles, the apostles of God, the places that they went, the preaching that they were involved in, and the particular preacher on this occasion is the Apostle Paul. Acts 28 and verse 17. And it came to pass that after 3 days Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you and to speak with you, because that I am for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, We neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed, and not among themselves, they departed, after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people, and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I shall heal, and I should heal them. Be it known, therefore, unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. I thought today in reading this 24th verse, there is a great divide here. There is a difference, a big difference between those that are named here. And that difference will only really be known in eternity. Luke records of what was preached by the Apostle Paul that some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. There is a big difference in those two groups. But if you notice the manifested difference, the way that they manifested this difference, it had to do with faith. It had to do with believing. And Luke records that there were some who heard the message Paul preached, and there is no doubt it was concerning Jesus. And when he proclaimed this message, some believed. Some had faith. Some people say that everybody has a measure of faith, and they only need to exercise their faith. But that is contrary to the Bible. You see, the one that makes the difference here, the one that makes the difference in faith, is God alone. He's the one that makes the difference, because no one has faith of themselves. They are not born with faith. They are not naturally believing. They cannot muster up faith. And if there's one thing that shows truly that salvation is of the Lord, it is that God must give the gift of faith. If someone doesn't have faith, it's because God has not given them faith. You see, the command to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, though it be the command, that doesn't give anybody of themselves or signify to them that they have the natural ability to do so. Because this faith is plainly in Scripture said to be the gift of God. Look over in Ephesians chapter 2, this familiar book and this familiar chapter and this familiar statement about salvation by grace. Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says to these Ephesian believers in verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." And that's where most ended at, but it follows a little more. It says, "And that not of yourself." That faith is not of yourselves. You didn't come up with it. You didn't invent it. You didn't muster it up. You weren't born with it. "And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Faith is the gift of God. And then Paul states it in this way to the Philippians in chapter 1. He says in verse 29, "For unto you it is given." Unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for his sake. In other words, it's given to them to suffer for their believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and identifying with him, and therefore it is also given them to believe on Christ. Faith is the gift of God. And I thought about this. This is what brought this to my mind. I thought about this. In this group that we read about in our text verse here, verse 24, this group that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, how different they might have been and what state they might have been in and of themselves. Many of these people may have been extremely poor. They may have possessed little education. They might have had little success in life. They might have had little to be encouraged in life. They might, and most likely were at that time, in bondage themselves to some power, such as the Romans. But they had this gift of God. They had faith that God gave them. As the gospel was preached, they were given faith by God to believe the truth. To believe God. James said this. He said, "Hearken, my beloved brethren." Listen to me. He says, "Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him?" God's elect, those chosen of God, who may be the naturally, literally poor of this world, but are certainly those who are made poor in spirit by the Spirit of God before God, but they are said to be rich in faith. Rich in faith. And what I want you to think about tonight is this. If God has given you faith, do you realize that he has given you the most blessed and blessed you with the greatest gift you can experience in this world? He could have given you riches, and those very riches destroyed you like they do most. He could have given you the gifts of natural things such as knowledge and understanding and abilities and skills and artistic ability. He could have given you any of these, and he may have given you some of them, but nothing compares to this. It is the gift of God. And if you believe, I'm not talking about this general faith or this faith of devils that believes that there is a God. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe the truth of the gospel, it is a miracle. It's a miracle. It's likened to be brought from death to life. It's the greatest thing that you could ever experience while living in this world. In other words, in the next life for God's people, it's not by faith then, it's by sight. We shall see Him as He is. But if we see Him in the eye of faith at this time, it's an absolute miracle. I think about all the people over all the time I've been trying to preach the gospel who have heard as best this poor sinner can, have heard me expand upon and expound and say what God says time and time again, doing the very best I can, making it the clearest I can, and yet they look at me and they say to me, "I just don't see it. I just don't see it that way. I just don't understand it. I just don't believe it." So if God has given you faith, and it really doesn't matter, according to His sovereign will, how much faith He gives you. He gave some, He described it as ye of little faith, but it was faith, because true faith depends on the object, the true object. So if in this world, being in the state you are as a sinner, being blind naturally, being born in sin and shapen iniquity, being dead in trespasses and sin, being incapable of performing an act that God can accept, if He's given you faith, what a miracle. What a blessed gift He's given us. It's the greatest gift that we could experience in this life. It's the greatest gift in this world. And it is a miracle of His sovereign grace in Christ if you believe. Because all men have not faith. As a matter of fact, most don't. We don't see or are not told the number that believed and the number that did not believe in this particular group. But if we go by what we see elsewhere, if we see it in the light of all humanity, those that believe and those that don't believe, many more don't believe than believe, so those that believe have had a miracle of God's grace. And His sovereign grace. Because over here in one family is one that believes the truth, and five that don't. Here's in this town, here's a handful that do, and a thousands that don't. Worldwide, it's just the same thing. And if He's given us faith, this means He's given us spiritual life. He's given us new birth. That's what Christ said. He that liveth and believeth on me hath everlasting life. Do you know that order? Men call upon men today to believe in order to live. But faith is the evidence of spiritual life. It's the evidence of the Spirit of God indwelling us And that's why Christ says that he that liveth and believeth. We get the cart before the horse sometimes. But if he makes us alive, we'll believe. If he gives us true faith, that gift of faith, oh, there's no question it'll be exercised because it's a living faith. And it means that God in grace by his Spirit has given us a new heart. The miracle isn't that he's given us a new nature. We have the same old Adamic nature we were born with. But if he gives a new heart, it's the heart of faith. Listen to Paul in Romans 10. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. In other words, you might say what most of the people who heard Paul preach didn't have the heart for. What was that? Believing it. But everyone there that believed was born of God's Spirit, was born of God, born again. They didn't believe to be born again. They were born again and therefore believed, and they believe from this new heart, they believe something. That's what faith does. Faith believes something. Believes something about Jesus Christ. Believe something that is revealed and testified concerning Christ, concerning this Jesus, concerning Christ crucified. And faith is not the cause of our blessing, and our believing is not the cause, but it's the means, it's the conduit by which he enables us to receive and know these blessings, and which we are assured of because Christ purchased. He redeemed us. We sang that song, Blessed Redeemer. And with Christ comes all these many gifts. But they are not gifts that he bought. They're gifts of his grace. And the redemption that takes place is the redemption of our souls. It's the redemption of us. It's the redemption of our body. He bought us with a price. And therefore he gives all these gifts. But we wouldn't know it. We couldn't appreciate it. We couldn't understand it. We couldn't find hope in it and joy in it if he didn't give us faith. It's kind of like having a whole meal set before you. You look there and you look here and there's no utensils. There's no silverware by which to appropriate this meal. There's a big tank of water out here in the desert, but you can't drink it because there's not a conduit that taps into it so that you can turn on the faucet and drink it and receive it. That's what faith is. When Christ died on the cross and he redeemed us, he purchased his people in order that he might give them these free gifts by which they know the other gifts that he gives us, so that we might be partakers of the things of Christ. Look over in Romans chapter 3. In verse 24, he says this, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. How does he characterize these that Christ redeemed? How does he speak of them that God is showing and declaring his righteousness in? How does he speak of those whom Christ is the propitiation for their sin? He describes them in this way, he that believeth in Jesus. Actually, that's he that is believing in Jesus. Do you ever stop and think of what a gift and how marvelous and how miraculous it is that you are believing in Jesus? You're believing on one you've never seen. But you're believing what God says about his Son and what he accomplished in his work. If God has given us faith, it is to know and to be assured that he has given us much more. Much more. Look over in chapter 4 of Romans. Verse 16, he says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. To this end, to this goal, for this purpose, that the promise might be sure to all the seed. It could never come by the law. It always had to come by faith in order for it to make it sure. And grace made faith the way so it would be sure. But to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before whom him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be as be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which is spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Do you ever think about how many people came out of Egypt headed toward the land of Canaan? It was a lot. And of all those people that came out of Egypt, of that generation, the Bible tells us that they all died in unbelief. Except Caleb and Joshua. They all died in unbelief. They had that deliverance naturally, physically. They saw miracles. They had blessing upon blessing physically heaped upon them. They saw things that in this world you and I have never even come close to seeing. But they didn't have faith. There's a people called by God's name. Had an emancipator and a leader like Moses. Saw the tabernacle. Saw all these things. Miraculous things. Ate manna from on high. But they died in unbelief. They didn't have faith. God did not give them the gift of faith. So it doesn't really matter how much you have, how much God has blessed you to see, how much you, all these other things, opportunities. If God doesn't give you faith, it's to no avail. Verse 20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That's what faith always does. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe, or since we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. The same righteousness that Abraham received through faith that God gave him is the same righteousness that a believer in this very hour and place receives by faith. Just listen to a few verses of what those who believe have by faith. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Those that believe, they have everlasting life. Those that believe, they shall not come into condemnation. Those that believe are passed from death to life. John 6:35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Acts 10:43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Romans 4:5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. First John 5:1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And then the thought that is in the Old Testament and the New Testament, like four or five times, translated by different words, are the words of Isaiah 28:16. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation. He's talking about Christ. A stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And he that believeth shall not make haste. Elsewhere it's translated or written, they'll not be confounded. In another place, they'll never be disappointed. Never fail. What? Those that believe on him. I tell you, if God has given you faith, he's given you all spiritual blessings. Those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, believe the promises of all that God has given in him, believe the word and truth of God, believe the gospel. And that's the only difference in them and a world that is nothing but unbelief. We have the same flesh, the same temptations, the same trials. But God has given us faith. God has worked a miracle in us. He's given us the greatest gift. And the purpose of this gift is that we might give to him, ascribe to him all the glory. Faith glorifies God. We have nothing to glory in if we believe. God has given to us and is giving to us this gift of faith. What a blessing. What an amazing thing. And by that gift, we receive His unspeakable gift. And all the other gifts, the things that are freely given to us in Him. It's amazing. Not that some believe not. That's the natural way and state of all the world. He's concluded all in unbelief. Except those to whom He gives faith. We might think, if He gave us a new car tomorrow, a new house, or perfect health, or great understanding, knowledge, gifts, and abilities, we might think that'd be a marvelous thing. But if He's given you faith, just consider it. That's the title of my message, If God Has Given You Faith. What a reason to praise Him. What a reason to be glad. Our Father, we pray tonight that You would help us, that we might see and understand and know in some measure Your grace to us if we believe, if we have faith to believe what You have said. The world calls us fools, and they think that our believing is just a belief of a myth, farce, fable. But we know, we believe because You've made us to believe. It's the truth. We believe the truth. And in our own natural state and condition, we can see a little bit of what a miracle that is. What grace that is to us, such as us. If we believe, we have faith. If we're among those who, when the gospel of truth is preached, we believe. Thank You, Father, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.